searching for a heart that will love him. Longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate. And longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate. Longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me with your all.
God doing, but guess what? He lost when he got kicked out of heaven. Amen. Let's go before the throne of grace. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this marvelous opportunity, this great opportunity to come before your throne. We thank you, Jesus, for purchasing this opportunity, for being obedient, and for letting your blood be shed on our behalf. Hallelujah. And then after you died and rose again, you sent back the Holy Spirit as you said you would to comfort us. Amen. To instruct and to guide and to teach us. And so, Father God, we're asking right now that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the knowledge of Jesus. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding more, that we'll better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, inheritance you have in us, the great and exceeding power you've made available to them that submit and obey you. Father God, we're asking right now that you would bless us with more knowledge of your will, giving us the strength and courage to carry it out so that we will be fruitful in every good work, amen, approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask you, bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're still dealing with why I covenant with God. And as I see things happening in the world, it's more it's important to notice, because a lot of people, you know, I watch the drama that's going on in Turkey right now. Now, yeah, you have to understand there's two sides to that. They permit the execution of Christians, and throughout the world, 250 million Christians are being persecuted simply for believing in Jesus Christ. There's no justifying on that. And it's sad that a lot of innocent people's lives are suffering. Amen. Well, and a lot of people have lost their lives. Amen. In that, some Christians have lost their lives. Okay? Because of the leadership of that nation, which, again, is why we need to pray for those in authority. Because Satan goes after leadership. That's what he does. He doesn't, you do not see him. He rarely, even the people, even with Judas, who betrayed Jesus. Judas was part of the leadership. He was part of the immediate 12 disciples closest to Jesus. So, you know, this is something significant. But understanding this, some of the, you know, a lot of them, I feel sorry for the saints, but then, I mean, the ones that died in the Lord, you couldn't drag them back here with 27 747s. I mean, they done crossed over to heaven. Remember, we see the tragedy over here. God see the glory over there. When they come through over there, they're full, they're whole, they're healthy, the old are new and young. And the young are healthy, and they're going to be that way eternally. Now, the ones that did not have Christ, well, they found out they was lied to, and Muhammad ain't the Savior, and his way wasn't the right way. But, and so what we're still talking about, the covenant, one of the things that's very significant now, we recently had another tragic event here in Michigan, but what's behind that is Satan, no question. But Satan knows that if you do not have a covenant with God and is in right standing with God, he can attack, and he will be successful. And this is going to increase, sadly, as time goes on. This is already written. Understand that tragedies that are written in the Bible, it wasn't God's plan. It isn't his will. It is the will of man that is bringing it about. The thing that you have to grasp, understand, is our nature is what drives us to want to be independent of God. But we're not. And God wants us to recognize we must be dependent upon him. See, it's just our makeup. It's natural, because when you look at when God created Adam, okay, that that spirit of man that God created within Adam is a thinking mechanism. I mean, you have to look at the series, look at the magnitude of what happened at that point. And this is the thing that God is trying to get us to understand. If it was simple, I don't believe the Bible would have so many pages and chapters and so many different types of events relating pretty much the same, almost repetitive, in many cases, if it wasn't significant, okay? And this is the thing. Now, you know, I've been on this. I noticed this is like the 20th episode on why I covenant with God. And that is because you have to think God thinks a billion years down the road. So we're trying to paint a psychological picture of man with power. Now, we've been dealing with the Davidic aspect, which is the kingly aspect of the covenant with God, because it leads to the kingship of Jesus. But God does in the Old Testament physically, visibly, what is spiritual in the New Testament. And there is important to watch and see. See, we now have a full understanding because we have the Bible in its completion. And we've now had time to study it, and then in past recent times, man has begun to put more time in studying and talking to God about these issues, and as a result, we've gained more revelation than any other generation has had. But yet and still, as we talk about Solomon, a man who Jesus said was the most intelligent, wisest man ever. And if Jesus had not said that, I would not have believed that, because we're going to see some things happen with Solomon in all this. As a matter of fact, if you tune in for episode 19, you'll see that Solomon started out, amen, I mean, doing wise things. I mean, it's documented in not only Jewish history and the Hebrew history, but in other cultures, history. The Queen of Sheba, I believe that country is originally Oman that is existing today. And Solomon was known throughout the Middle East for his wisdom as a young man. Now, which means that going to college, amen, isn't the end, it's the beginning. You know, from what I heard, from what I was taught by, I believe, the late Dr. Vernon McGee, that Solomon, amen, requested wisdom from God upon graduating from the college of his day at that time. And I don't think it's sad that our colleges now don't have the revelation that they had back then. Some of the foreign countries do. I mean, my physician from India was surprised that we didn't go to medical school right out of high school, as they do in India. Because if you know what you want to do, if you've been gifted and you know that, then that's what you should be learning. You know, they don't have to study archaeology and a whole lot of useless classes. They study and focus on what they do. That's why you're seeing in the hospital so many of them. They come over here, take the AMA exam, and go right to work. We got to spend 12 years trying to get with them because America is so idolatrous and so money-oriented that it just wastes people's lives and times trying to get somewhere. Therefore, and that is the result of not asking God about direction. They just feel like they got experience and they know some things. Well, we're going to go, while you're at it, take your feet, page your thumb, and, you know, you find your Bible and go to 1 Kings chapter 11. Remember, like I said, last week, Solomon started out good. David had accumulated funds to build the temple, and everything was going along. I think like I said, he's known as the wisest man, but You know, as I often refer to in Zechariah chapter 3, where it shows Zechariah the high priest standing before the Lord. And if you go back and you read, you'll find out that he had his garments were dirty. Okay, well, actually his spiritual garments were dirty. You know, if you look and read the conversation, because Zechariah could not see Satan. You know, Satan does not, even then, he could not, well, I don't know, he could have probably physically manifested, but I don't see no record of him physically manifesting in the Bible except when he confronted Jesus. But then, you know, that's a different situation. So, and right now, as it stands, Satan couldn't come in front of you. As a Christian, if you had a Holy Spirit, he doesn't have that authority. See, the one thing about the Bible is it gives you the revelation of all realms. And it's imperative that you understand that aspect, because we also have in this country a lot of cultures that have brought their idolatrous practices in this country. And you're going to have to be able to stand your ground. Amen. You're going to have to know that you know that you know. Because, see, the thing that we get caught up in is we look at certain aspects of sin. But you got to understand, Satan puts sugar on sin. He make it real sweet. Because if it was as sour as it really is, nobody would do it. See, yeah, understand, he's a tactician. He has been at this for 6,000 years. What, 5,000 years? No, 6,000 years. He's been at it a long time, a lot longer than you have. And his intellect, his gathering, information gathering, his intellect, IQ, puts him at about 10 times the average human being. Okay? But if we're going to read this, now listen to what this is saying here. It says, but Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. And Solomon clave unto these in love. Now, this particular love right here is the love that most people know. In the Hebrew, it's called Ahab, okay, A-H-A-B. And it speaks specifically of sensual, sexual love. Using that term love mean that you put it at a priority above all. Okay, you know you want it that bad. See, you know you'll find this happens with people nowadays. There's some sexual practices that are, I would say, extremely sensual. You know, our bookstore at Word of Faith used to carry copies of Kama Sutra. You know, and that, for those of you that are of marital age, that's a book you might want to have, but it really deals with the sensual nature of human beings and all the various positions and what the result of that. These are ancient practices. Let's go down here and read, let me see. So, let's follow the trail. Okay, now, if you notice, it said that God had told them to not associate with those people, you know. I can tell you from experience, when your parents tell you to stay away from certain people, they're doing it out of wisdom from experience, maybe not their own experience, but what they have witnessed over the years. Trust me, if I had listened to my mother, as I was told about a certain individual, my life would have taken a whole different pattern, a totally different pattern, totally different pattern, you know. But that's the way it is. When you're young, you think older people don't know anything or forgot everything, but the reality is they have experienced more than you will if you don't live as long as they do. All right. So notice this. Solomon had 700 wives, 300 concubines, okay? Now, that's just out of control. Okay, the law said that a king shall not multiply unto himself wives. That's what the law said. They were permitted to have more than one wife. You know, but the thing about that is, as we saw with David and Bathsheba, that don't always work to your advantage. Because one, they had, when women live together, this is just an FYI for men that have to learn to operate in the fruit of the spirit, long suffering. They all had a mission. If you got men and daughters all on a menstrual cycle, they go all be, because it's something about living in a household, psychologically, they all tend to have it at the same time. So they all have them issues going on at the same time. Now, Matt, having 700 wives, yeah. But see, now, this is something else I did some research on some years ago. Because, again, another one of the teachers that I followed talked about the fact that Solomon experimented with drugs. Because they go back to 4003 B.C. These are not new ideas in our recent history. The only thing that made it different in America was that primarily America was a quote Christian nation, and so they deemed some of those practices as sinful, but in reality they could not really point to scripture to call it that. But they do serve a purpose, and that's what it is. One of the things you'll see here is, as you see with Solomon, it diminished his willingness to obey God, and that's what the purpose of drugs is. And now here, particularly in Michigan, they have legalized marijuana, and particularly the thing about that is that the producers of it have increased the active ingredients of THC 100, 200, 300%. And I can remember from the days when, in my youth, when I was engaged in such activity, they are now smoking more than I used to. And this is a different generation. I thought I was way out there and strung out, but I don't remember ever in my life getting up early in the morning smoking marijuana. So they on another whole level. I smell it early in the morning. I don't know if they coming in late at night smoking it or alert in the morning or whatever, but they do. And this the aroma is so great that I don't remember driving down the street, being stopped at a light and could smell the person in front of me smoking. This is something more potent, and what it does is raises your sense level, your sensitivities. And the thing about it is it raises all the senses, good or bad. If you're an ornery person, you're a mean person, you'll be meaner than you normally mean. But it creates a sexual provocativeness. And now they have introduced these candies and these in the forms of chocolate and gummy bears with the same level of ingredients in it. And you really have to be truthful with your children about this, to tell them specifically, this is a PSA, don't tell your kid, don't ever take candy from a stranger. Don't even take it from their friends at school, because they don't know what's in it. And we're finding this already with kids that are getting ill at school because somebody gave them something. But anyway, so when Solomon was engaged with all these women, with all these practices, there's a lot of this information on Wikipedia that you can learn in their cultural practices. And like I say, in our culture, you will find that God set prohibition on sexual standards in Leviticus chapter 18. But in these cultures, that those restrictions didn't exist. So you're seeing this now in different countries already in America. As we see, we got various changes in cultural practices because this has always been based on what they call Judeo-Christian practices, which is what the Bible is. And understand, Christianity is the fulfillment of Judaism. All right? So let's read some more of this here. Verse 4. This is 1 Kings 11, verse 4. So hold on. Let me switch Bibles again. While we're at it, I want to read this. I had it. I should have kept it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. I just speak it to you. It's a well-known scripture. It tells you to be sober and to be vigilant, for Satan goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, you can imagine that how much easier that is if you are intoxicated, because where was I said I was going? 1 Kings? Okay, well, we was already in chapter 11. I said I was switching Bible. That's what it was. All right, thank you. I need all the help I can get. But let's see, verse 4. It says, we got KGV. Let's switch this up. Do a little man. There we go. Hallelujah. King Solomon was obsessed with the women, and he took them from the surrounding pagan nations with God, had clearly warned Israel, you must not marry them. They'll seduce you into infatuations with their gods. Solomon fell in love with them anyway. Refusing to give them up, he had 700 royal wives, 300 concubines, and 1,000 women in all. And they did seduce him away from God. As Solomon grew older, his wives beguiled him with their alien gods, and he became unfaithful, and he didn't stay true to his God as his father David had done. Now, note that it said that David had done. See, understand it. Now, we read what David got tripped up. You know, I can't use the term I usually use, but David tripped up and with Bathsheba, but still, like we saw with David, once he did something, you don't see David repeating the same dumb thing. Whatever he did it one time. When God called him out, he didn't make excuses, and that's what God expects us to do. 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, our faults, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Meaning God will, if you will pick up your Bible and dust it off and read it, will show you in his word how to combat this. Because, again, we're here to learn. We don't know it. If you think you know it, you already defeated. Since Solomon openly defied God, he did not follow in his father David's footsteps. He went on to build a sacred shrine to Chemos, the horrible god of Moab, and to Molech, the horrible god of the Ammonites, on a hill just east of Jerusalem. They call that a high place. And he built similar shrines for all his foreign wives, who then polluted the countryside with the smoke of stench of their sacrifice. And God was furious with Solomon for abandoning the God of Israel, the God who had twice appeared to him and had so clearly commanded him not to fool around with other gods. Solomon faithlessly disobeyed God's order. God said to Solomon, since this is the way it is with you, that you have no intention of keeping faith with me and doing what I have commanded, I am going to rip the kingdom from you and hand it over to someone else. But out of respect for your father David, I won't do it in your lifetime. It's your sons who will pay. I will rip it right out of his grasp. Even then, I won't take it all. I'll leave him one tribe in honor of my servant David, out of the respect for my chosen city, Jerusalem. Now, this is the thing when I frequently tell people or say, you hear me say, why Satan gets you caught up in the sin? Because it reduces your power. He gets you to step away from God. Now we're gonna jump over to the New Testament. That's where we live at. We're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. see, now you understand Paul writing to the Corinthians church was very familiar with what went on with Solomon as he was a Jewish Pharisee, amen, studied under Gamaliel, amen, which was a high order, which was a doctorate of the law, and doctors generally produce doctors, you know, seed after his own kind. Now, understand, see, you have to look beyond this life. And this is what gets people tripped up. They're so focused on this life, they'll sacrifice the internal life for just this little bit of life that we have down here. This is just a first phase of the learning mode in the flesh level. It's the next level of learning will come in the spiritual realm at the super spiritual level. Amen, which is, if you remember, I guess I should go back and read some of that, but I will go. But understand it, because your spiritual nature is going to change. Again, this is why there will be a 1,000 years on this planet. Understand, this what I do now with this life tells God how I would do in the next life. Ain't no, well, when I get there, I'll behave. No, you got to show God now how you going to behave, you know, because this thing is serious. I mean, you really got to analyze, ponder, ask God to show you the revelation of what and who you are. Because we are, like I said, we are a spirit with a mind, will, and emotion, and we live inside of a body. That makes us a soul. That makes you an independent being. And the different experiences in life and influences in life are situations where we have to make decisions on how to respond based on knowledge of the Word. And the problem with a lot of us is we don't have any knowledge because we haven't read the Word. You know, it's sad, but that's the truth. So now Paul, now mind you, Solomon was dealing with the same culture. So those cultures are still on the planet today. Because why? Them demons are still on the planet today. They haven't gone anywhere. Demons, they don't get old and die out, okay? They still do what they do. Now, here in 1 Corinthians, which was similar to the cultures that Solomon was engaged in, this is what Paul instructed the Corinthians Christian. Now understand, when you come to Christ, when you come into you come into another culture. You come into the kingdom culture of God. So behaviors have to change. You can't be the way you was in the world. I was listening to a preacher last night, and I tend to agree with him that if there's no change, then there's no change. If the person doesn't change in time, then they went to the altar, they said something, but it wasn't in faith because they didn't follow in through. They believed something, they hoped something, but they didn't follow through. Faith doesn't work that way. You know, I tell you, I've been through this thing 46 years, and, you know, I'd have been ups and downs, but I don't stop. I don't stay down at the bottom. I try to get higher than I was than what I fell and keep on going. Hallelujah. It says, now this is Paul to the Corinthians. He said, and this is for us. He said, don't become partners with those who reject God. And that doesn't matter who they are. Now, this is, matter of fact, I'm going to switch up. Well, I'm going to read it. This is the message. Don't become partners with those. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That partnership, that's not partnership, that's war. Is light best friends with dark? Does Christ go strolling with the devil? Do trust and mistrust hold hands? Who would think of setting up pagan idols in God's holy temple? Sadly, that's going to happen. But that is exactly what we are. Each of us a temple in God, in whom God lives. Each of us a temple in whom God lives. A temple in whom God lives. God himself put it this way. I'll live in them, move into them, I'll be their God, they'll be my people. So leave the corruption and compromise. Leave it for good, says God. Don't link up with those who will pollute you. I want you all for myself. I will be a father to you. You'll be sons and daughters to me. The word of the master. See, it's always been about that. That's the whole thing about this, you know. It's always been about us and God. And that's the same thing. Now, Solomon did at the time the Spirit of God would come upon him, and that's why he was so wise. And unlike us, though, we are at the next level with the resurrection of Jesus. The Holy Spirit now dwells in us, and that's what it's talking about. And again, I think because people don't see change that to the level that it actually can be and will be when Jesus comes back. They tend not to. I'm keeping check on my phone line because last week we was having technical difficulty. People tend not to think that it is not God in His fullness. I mean, I get that because I had to gravitate and grow to a different level. Like, I didn't know that the change that had come about. You have to take God at His word. You know, we tell people every Sunday that you don't base your feeling. Feeling does not determine whether or not you receive salvation from God. It's what His word said. He said, if you say with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, then you shall be saved. You know, that stands. Now, it's up to you to build on that. And again, you got to accept the reality of the level of life that this truly is. I mean, just look at the basics. For you to be able to hear me, your ears grab vibrations out of the air at a high rate, a very high. Even sound travels at 600 miles an hour, but your reactions inside between your spirit and your brain and your ears happens at 250 millionths of a second span with continuity in order for you to be able to hear me. And on the same thing on my end, for your eyes to see in front of you, it has to pick up light and molecules. It has to discern the difference. What you think is empty space is actually not empty, and what you see is solid is really moving molecules, and the colors determine the speed. We live in such a world that science is now really beginning to see what it is, and that's what's bringing about a lot of the changes that are coming about as far as manufacturing and communication devices. Is we are understanding the world that we live in. The problem with that is we can see the lack of wisdom and the love of God. There is no way we should have billionaires and homeless at the same time. We shouldn't have billionaires and underpaid. I don't care if they work at White Castle flipping hamburgers. They should be making, if the company's making billions of dollars, then they should be, everybody in there should be making a living wage. And I would be afraid to face God at the head of a company like that and have to try to explain to Him why I let His people suffer like that. I don't think Luke chapter 16 is clear. What happened in that situation. Okay. Now, so let's read now. I want to read, go back to Proverbs chapter 6. Now, understand, Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. Now, from what I was reading and studying, what you find in Proverbs is the fact that is what he wrote when he was young, before he got caught up with all these women, you know, because it's the issue became, or the question was, you know, if he was that wise and he wrote the book of Proverbs, you know, how did he wind up that way? But again, understand, they had a limited understanding of how prayer works and how the word works. I keep wanting to use the phrase Dixon Bible Bookstore, but I don't even think they exist anymore. But they didn't have, I got on my phone, I think I got like 12 Bibles and 15 commissaries. I got a library at home, and everything just about that's in my library is the complete Matthew Henry commentary. That's 6 books. That's like 11,000 pages by itself, all on my cell phone. Solomon didn't have all that. They was getting it hot off the press, and they didn't really know. But we know. We really don't have an excuse. And we all know that despite all that we do know, we almost, sadly, I've been married more than once. I regret that reality, you know. But, I mean, that, and God held one person accountable. I tried to tell him, I'm like, well, you know, if somebody had, he didn't know, he held up the hand, like, talk to the hand, I don't want to hear it, because God was there. I just didn't take the effort to get to know him when I was like Solomon, a young man, you know, I waited, well, I was 25, but still, I should have did it at 15. If I'd have took it serious, God would have taken it serious. So you 15-year-olds that are listening, take it serious. Because God's way is the way. You know, he's the least amount of trouble. But like I say, because I got my mind right, boss, you know, now I've been married over 40 years. See, and it's something. And I understand it because understand life is all about your spiritual development. Every aspect is about your spiritual development. The drama that goes on your job is about your spiritual development. You respond based on your knowledge according to the word. And if you don't know the word, if you don't know how these things work, you're going to respond in a typical human way. You got a crazy boss. You're not going to go in there unless you know that asking more people that have the authority to pray and that do pray, will pray, then you're not going to go and ask them, well, look, my boss is giving me trouble. His name is James Jones, and I need you to pray for him that God will give him the spirit of wisdom. James Jones might have one of them crazy lives and wives, you know, and he don't know how to handle life, so he needs the wisdom and the revelation of God. So, see, God expects us to be singularly focused on what will Jesus do, and that's not easy, but you cannot do that without the knowledge of the word of God. It just won't happen because you don't know what to do. You're going to do what you know, see, and you don't see it, and you don't have the expectation. You don't have the faith to believe the change will come about. I saw that on my job. When I started working at the sheriff's department, it was chaotic and crazy. It was violent every day. But, see, we got together and we prayed, and by the time I retired, I mean, the violent level became far and in between. So it can be done. It can be done. We saw God do some major moves. You know, we had a King Cyrus type commander. I mean, he believed there was a God, but he wasn't all in. But if it was going to bring down the violence, he was all for it. He was supportive. You know, he wasn't restrictive as the other one. Now, I mean, we had an incident where, a situation where they had, they couldn't come in and say, well, we don't want y'all reading the Bible. So they banned all reading material. I'm like, that was before the electronic Bible, okay? So they banned all reading material to start like that's going to stop. The reading that was shaking the devil, we was praying. I mean, I had plenty of time to pray. And it gave me an opportunity to see the authority. And that you can't learn without the experience. And that's the whole thing about life. And you got to look back. Go back and look at the fruit of the Spirit. Why do you need patience? Why do you need long suffering? If it's going to be short, it would have said short suffering. See, now Solomon, again, didn't have all these advantages. Now, and again, our advantage, people without a covenant, they are disadvantaged. Because as much as they would like to, as much as God would like to answer their prayer, a lot of times he can't. For God to answer a sinner's prayer, okay, a person that has not received Christ, he has to get a Christian to pray so that he can answer. That's how it gets done. I actually was dumb enough to complain to God about that. You know, if you quit blessing them, then they'll know that they need you. You know, God is like probably shook his head like the bus boy just don't get it. But I didn't know that much back then, okay? You know, I mean, it was thing. I'm like, you making it hard for us, Lord. No, he ain't making it hard. He wanted me to have a full understanding. Go back and get the word out. Go back and read it. See? And see, this is how this works. Now, see, like, so I don't, my point here is, even though Solomon went off the deep end, the point I want you to get is that it can happen. You know, don't think you get to that place where you have arrived. I recently had contact with somebody that they made a statement, and I asked them, did they ask God about it? And as usual, they were not. They tried to dance around the answer. Listen, pride is the only reason you won't ask God about it. You know, if you can't stand the word it's written to be, give us correction. That's why this was in here. This was in here. See, you can have people got 5 master degrees. Listen, I saw plenty of people with master degree in prison, in jail. You know, that gives you information. That doesn't give you authority over the devil. He got more heat, shoot. He know more than you gonna learn in this lifetime. All right. But anyway, did I read it? Oh, we want to read Proverbs 6:25. And again, just to show you that he had some revelation before this. I ought to read this 7 things that God hates, but that's good. And remember this. A proverb a day will help you keep the devil away. All right? Hallelujah. Well, let me see. Anyway, this is Solomon. I'm going to start at verse 20. And then, I'm reading from the Message Bible. And it says, good friend, follow your father's good advice. Don't wander off from your mother's teaching. Wrap yourself in them from head to foot. Wear them like a scarf around your neck. Wherever you walk, they will guide you. Wherever you rest, they will guard you. When you wake up, they will tell you what's next. For sound advice is a beacon. Good teaching is a light. Moral discipline is a life path. They'll protect you from promiscuous women, from the seductive talk of the temptress. Don't lustfully fantasize on her beauty, nor be taken in by her bedroom eyes. You can buy an hour with a prostitute for a loaf of bread, but a promiscuous woman may well eat you alive. Okay, can you build a fire in your lap and not burn your pants? Can you walk barefoot on hot coals and not get blisters? It's the same when you have sex with your neighbor's wife. Touch her and you'll pay for it. No excuses, no excuses. Hunger is no excuse for a thief to steal. When he is caught, he will have to pay it back 7-fold. So listen, so Solomon knew this. His parents taught him. See, so you can be taught. Like I said, you'll see it in the family. Everybody come up in the family, get the same teaching, go to the same church, and then one of them just be completely outlawed. Well, in our case, it was like 3 of us, but but you know, it's you again. You got this outside force of demonic activity, and again, when I think back to just the 70s, which is 50 years ago, but still, this type of teaching wasn't available that I knew of. Of course, we didn't know what Bible class was. You know, I went with my mother to a Bible class once, and I thought it was a club meeting because, you know, you go to church on Sunday and it's full and everybody's there. And then you go on Bible class and hear the pastor's break and going through the scripture verse by verse. And I'm like, well, why are people here now? Because this is where you get learning. I am an avid Bible class student. Believe me, that I take that with the same attitude that people take pursuit of a master's degree. I pursue the master's degree because that's going to last eternally. That's going to help me get there eternally. this life is temporary. And this is the thing. We have our priorities wrong. You know, Satan is the master deceiver. I mean, you look at all the idolatry that exists now, and it's gone to another level. I just recently heard about what went on at some awards show, and they dressing up like the devil and got women in cages. See, this outright defiance to God, don't think it is not going to be addressed, because it is clear in the word that he said, God is, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Amen. Whatsoever a person sow, they shall reap. And you already see it. Like I said, sadly as it is, I'm seeing tragedies throughout the world, floods, earthquakes, fires. All that is spiritual related. It is spiritually related. The California fires, listen, they don't know how to pray. And if they know how, then, again, people could debate the fact that there are, I give you a list of seven standards, number one being a covenant. If you don't have, if you just went and sat plopped down in church, oh, let's look at this. You grew up in church, amen, and you never, and when you reach adulthood, you have to make a commitment. The fact that you grew up in that does not make you a member of the body of Christ. Somebody really need to hear this. You got to open your mouth and say to them, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge you as Savior, and I ask you to come into my heart. That little signature on the line makes a big difference. If you haven't signed on the line, when Satan see, when the demons see an angel coming to assist you, he hold up his hand and like, hey, he don't qualify. See, you can acknowledge, you can believe what you want to believe. They believe the word. James said, you believe in God, the devils believe in God. They know his word because they know that's when they can act. That's what they know they can do. If you go and read Job, the book of Job, chapter 1, Satan goes up to heaven. I don't even know why people be praying, talking about commanding Satan to return to hell from whence he came. I missed that. Okay, now I believe the books that God wanted us to know are available for us, you know. So I didn't see where Satan was, you know. I know Jesus took the keys. He used to run it, but Satan ain't running it no more. Jesus got the keys to death, hell, and the grave, all right? He can lock up in and out. You know, I know somebody went to hell, and Jesus permitted them to come out. There's been a bunch of people. But understand this. So the point here is the other thing I thought about this today, would this have happened to Solomon if he had had an average life, if he wasn't a king? Because people don't, you know, I remember a pastor, this man of God, talked about, it's a scripture I was looking for. It's called The Forces of the Gentiles. And it's talking about money. And understand, one of Satan's tricks is prosperity. When you deprive somebody, it's like somebody that's been out in the desert that's hungry, you know, that don't like cheese, and you offer them some cheese, they'll eat the cheese, you know. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you offer me some grits, I'll just say, well, it was nice knowing you. I'm going on and be with the Lord, because I ain't eating nobody's grits. I think people that eat grits need their tongue healed, but anyway, hallelujah. But I want you to get the revelation. The main takeaway here is stay in line with God. We are at the end of this. This is, you know, I want to read this one last scripture here. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Because this is where we at. You want to make the end of this journey, and this is what Paul said about that. Now, understand, Paul was trying, remember, he talked about, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he's talking about the fact that God had given him, he spent time out in the desert with Jesus, and that's how he got all the revelation that he did to write these books, that he wrote these epistles that he wrote. He says, I don't know about you. This is 1 Corinthians 9, 26 and 27. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. And I'm giving it everything I got. No lazy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I am not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out myself. You know, as he said in the KGV, he said, after I done preached to others, and then myself get cast away. And this is the whole thing, because it's understand, Satan has different attack modes. Hard time make people pray. But prosperity, well, I've seen it weaken a lot of people. I never forget this brother. I mean, every time I was at church, he was at church, he was serving. And I mean, he was faithful. And one day I seen the brother driving a Lamborghini, and I'm glad for him. Then I looked up, and he ain't serving no more. Now I looked up, and he started hanging around the back of the church. Now he don't even come to church. See, one thing about this, see, why? How do you get, if God bless you, why would you want to separate yourself from him? Why would you, that's like being in the desert and you see water and then you know you need water to live, but you go separate yourself from the water. That I just can't see that. I can't see that. But see, that's why Satan want to get you out in the world. That's why the Bible says, as you see the days getting worse, fellowship more. Listen. Even if you don't get in a church, get in a meeting. Be around some saved folk. Be around some Bible-talking folk. Be around some want-to-go-to-heaven folk. You see what happened to Solomon, and it can happen to you. You seen this happen to people. You know, they was going to church, and now all of a sudden they got a job, and they got blessed. And I've seen this over the years so many times increased, and now all of a sudden it's like they reached some pinnacle in life, and they all that, and you ain't, man, you ain't nothing. You just one heartbeat away from transition. One heartbeat, heart stop, boom, gone. I have seen that too many times, man. So, but anyway, I hope you got something out of that, because next week we're going to pick up on the end of this, and that will be when Jesus comes on the scene, you know, the Son of David, amen. But anyway, right now, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is your opportunity. Because if you have not, you do not have a covenant with God. And as a result, Satan can block your blessing. Now, your life may be good, but it can't be eternal without Christ. It just can't happen. You might be a good person, but you can't make it without him. You need that part. Think of it as a recall from cars that was missing parts. I know where there are sitting like 5,000 trucks right now that are missing a part. And without that part, they can't go anywhere. So you need this. You need the Holy. What you don't have is the Holy Spirit. And you can't have the Holy Spirit without the blood of Christ being applied to you. You are a spirit. Okay? We're not going to pull something red over you. But all you have to do is say this. Lord God, I believe the Bible is your word. I believe the story that is in it. I believe that you created all of life. And I believe that all men were born in sin as the result of Adam's sin. I believe that salvation can only come through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And I say with my mouth and I believe with my heart that I am saved, I am born again, I am forgiven. You know, it's sad that so many people wind up in hell and find out that was all it took to get them. I, my heart goes out to God that he has to sit and watch people go to hell. They're good people, honest people, honorable people. You know, it's sad because, you know, you'll watch. I remember a situation where you could have a situation where a person will murder somebody that's not saved, that murdered person end up in hell, then the murderer go to prison, get saved, die, and go to heaven. Life ain't fair. It ain't fair. You know, you want the right, you want the fullness of the benefit. This is, like I say, you got something great going, and we are at the end of days. It's not just the last day; it's the end of days. Amen. Well, I'll have an ad on for my book at the end of this. It's only a few seconds long, you know, after this. And just remember this. prayer, which is very important. Prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. Well, we got one prayer going.
Was that ad going to play?
Oh, no, no.
Oh, okay.
I put it on there.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through, calling all my friends, asking what's the move, feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no cloud get in my way, the only road I'm walking is the one I pick, catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
ooh, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful.
Today.
I'm gonna be joyful. Ooh, I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day.
Ooh.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy down in my heart. Today, today.